It's Wednesday, February 11th, 2015, and listening friend, you're in for a real treat and some Valentine's fun, as on today and Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, you're going to hear a Moody special called Valentine's Live with Laura Story, John and Kendra Smiley, various volunteers, Moody musicians, and a cast of actors as we usher in Valentine's Day this Saturday. This is a 55-minute broadcast, so I'll try to fit it in its entirety by breaking it into two parts, today and Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. So enjoy the broadcast, and thanks for listening to Great News Radio.
Boldly going where no man has ever gone before. These are the voyages of Valentine's Live. It's the one-hour variety show that celebrates Christ's love for you. From Moody Radio, it's Valentine's Live, the variety show with stories, songs, and humor. Just ahead, recording artist Laura Story will be on stage. Our cast of actors and sound effects people will bring you the touching story, Love at First Flight. Plus, jokes that are almost as funny as they ought to be. Let's get started, though, with a story. This one features three volunteers from our audience here at Valentine's Live. Could we get your name and home church, please, real quick?
My name's Sammy. I go to Armitage Baptist Church.
All right, thanks, Sammy.
I'm Suzanne from Village Church of Gurnee.
And I'm Tanya Santana, representing the Furnace Youth at NDCC.
Now, all three of our volunteers are sporting a very subtle name tag, 8.5 by 11, laminated, hanging from their necks. Anyway, it's not their name. It's the name of the sound that they're going to perform for you tonight here at Valentine's Live. Are you ready for this? Let's enjoy an introduction to the story of Caleb, Carla, and the Valentine Call. It was Valentine's Day, and Caleb and Carla were 1,000 miles apart. Caleb pulled out his phone and dialed the number of his sweetheart.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop. Boop, boop, beep, boop.
But instead of Carla, it was Matt's Meat Market. What's your beef? So Caleb dialed again.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, beep.
Was that 15 or 16 digits?
16. It's new.
It's not international calling. This time, instead of Carla, it was Yoder's Amish Farm. Please don't tell anyone we have a phone. He dialed again.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop.
This time, here's the reply. Roadkill Cafe, you kill 'em, we grill 'em. Well, by now, Caleb figured out he was calling the wrong number because he was so nervous. He had never before actually told Carla his true feelings. If only he could dial the right number.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop.
Fourth time's the charm, and Carla's phone began to ring.
Do, 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 do.
What is that you're doing there?
It's my morning alarm.
You wake up with that?
I do.
So the thing rings, and Carla answers.
Hello, Caleb?
Carla, I wanted to call and tell you that I really love the Chicago Cubs. Goodbye. But now, Caleb was kicking himself. He really wanted to tell Carla how much he loved her, but he got too nervous and changed the subject. He drew in a deep breath and dialed her number one more time.
Beep, boop, 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 beep, boop, boop.
This time, Caleb would not be deterred. Carla, I love you. I always have. I always will. Here's my kiss from 1,000 miles away. Carla giggled.
Oh, Caleb, I love you too. I want you to have my kiss too. Here goes.
Is that all he gets? which goes to show when it's true love, a kiss on Valentine's is always a good idea, even if you're 1,000 miles away. Ladies and gentlemen, how about a round of applause for our sound effects folks? By the way, we're going to say thanks to each of those three volunteers with a copy of 52 Uncommon Dates, a great resource from our friends at Moody Publishers. It's time now for the 2-Minute Clinic. Relationship experts John and Kendra Smiley help a couple sort through their marriage issues. Meet Ernest and Evelyn, who now share their troubles with the Smileys.
Okay, well, for starters, he's not happy unless he has at least a month's worth of dirty clothes sitting around our bedroom.
And she's not happy unless she's used up 500 minutes of talk time on her cell phone by noon every day.
Yeah.
It's getting irritated.
Really, I think the reason that we're here is our love is just cold. We're plain bored.
Well, at least we can agree on that.
So, what's your advice?
Well, Evelyn, I hear what you're saying.
Thank you.
Sometimes life is daily. Have you noticed that? Life is so daily, day after day after day. And you make those meals and you feed those kids and they just want to eat again. It doesn't seem right. And so I understand. And so what I want to challenge you to do is kind of think back in the past. What did you used to enjoy doing together?
Right, and you know that marriage should be exciting and fun. It shouldn't be boring. God intended it to be fun and exciting. And not only looking back at something that you did exciting in the past, but looking forward to like a bucket list, something that each one of you might have, and just the planning, just talking about it, not even maybe doing it for a while, but just getting together and talking about something that's exciting. And that's what we want to do. We want to start from the beginning where it is boring and we don't want it to be there, and we want to move into something exciting.
That's right, whitewater rafting. The big guy took me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was on my bucket list. Take some time. You know, you don't have to go to where there's water. You can just take some time to be together and to talk with one another. Spend some time together.
Wow, great advice from John and Kendra Smiley with the 2-Minute Clinic. And they'll be back later on here at Valentine's Live. You've heard her music on the radio. Now hear her tonight, live at Valentine's Live. Singer and songwriter Laura Story. Let's welcome her.
Good evening. I want to invite you to stand and sing with us. Let's lift up our voices in praise to our Lord.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Flaming.
tonight because we believe that you do look at us and see the very depths of who we are. And your response to us is not condemnation. Your response to us is love. It's forgiveness, and it was shown to us in the perfect way through you giving your son Jesus for us. And we praise you for that.
Laura's story returns for more here at Valentine's Live. Right now, time for a word from one of our sponsors.
Let's be honest. When it comes to relationships and a proper sense of time, some guys are almost clueless, but they don't have to remain helpless. Introducing the Valen Timer, when a gal has a guy who needs a hint. Cleverly disguised as a heart-shaped fob, the Valen Timer sounds a pleasant, audible reminder for your man. Maybe it's time for him to define the relationship. Set the chime at your preferred time. A flashing screen displays DTR.
DTR, DTR, DTR.
Wish he'd shower you with a dozen roses? The Valen Timer drops a hint he can't ignore. Colorful roses blinking on your digital locket.
Bring her roses, bring her roses, bring her roses.
Need a hug, a date, an apology? The Valen Timer handles it all. And when you're ready for him to be ready to pop the big question, the Valen Timer puts the words right into his mouth.
Will you marry me? Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
The Valen Timer. When a gal has a guy who needs a hint. The Valen Timer from Sincerely Yours, Incorporated.
Political talk shows where people sit around and argue and love it. Here's our version. It's the McLaughlin Group.
From Moody Radio, it's the McLaughlin Group. A panel of noted journalists addressing current issues in depth. Now our host, John McLaughlin.
Issue number one, Josh Groban's When You Say You Love Me. In this touching tribute, he claims, when you say you love me, for a moment there's no one else alive. I say that goes beyond reasonable hyperbole. You, Amy.
Honestly, John, I'm just terribly bothered by it. To say that there's no one else alive completely devalues the life of every other human being on this planet. I'm sorry.
I think that's a bit ridiculous.
What?
It's simply an expression of one lover to another. It's hardly a statement of genocidal intent.
True, but the hyperbole is so extreme, it inevitably, I would say inescapably, makes second-class citizens of all 7 billion people on Earth.
Come on, you guys. Come on. It's just a song, a lyric, that's it.
Yeah, but the power of a song carries more potential for culture change than a thousand political races. I think we need to exercise caution, that's all I'm saying.
Really? Really? So what are they supposed to say to each other? I sort of like you a lot. Is that safer? Would that
look,
be better?
Look, let's move on, okay? There's another line in the song worthy of examination, I think. It reads, when you say you love me, the world goes still. I mean, really, are we implying a complete cessation of planetary orbit here? Because I see a problem.
And once again, Amy, I think you are turning a figure of a speech on its head.
Well, I think you're crazy. Come on.
I mean, how are we to know what is merely a literary device versus the literal expression of this couple? Perhaps even their claim to love each other is only a metaphor, right?
That's preposterous. These assertions that you all are making are implausible. They're not just implausible, they're laughable.
Time for a conclusion. When you say you love me is loaded with excessive hyperbole. I will not be playing it at Valentine's. Issue number 2, the gift of chocolate at Valentine's. A time-honored tradition, but is it a tradition that should end, Nate?
Well, historically, chocolate has been an acceptable way to express affection. But I have to say, in this calorie-conscious society that we live in, I wonder if it's time to move away from chocolate.
Oh, please. I mean, we sell 32-ounce Slurpees, triple-stack burgers, and super-sized meals, but now we're going to torpedo the Whitman sampler. I mean, give me a break.
Look, I can just see it now, all right? Government regulates box of chocolates must be under 200 calories. I mean, really, enjoy that candy if you can even find it.
So what's wrong with that?
What?
If people won't start making their own healthy choices, then government ought to.
Forget the government overreach for a minute. The fact is, a box of chocolates is simply loaded with sugar and calories.
Oh, but it's also loaded with good feelings, good memories, good times.
It's also loaded with antioxidants, dark chocolate especially.
There you go.
Somehow that little health fact has been conveniently overlooked by the health fanatics.
Yes, but think of the weight gain. That cute little heart-shaped box is empty. You're wearing that heart on your hips.
Look, I'm sorry, but once again, I have to bring this back to the important topic, and that is that no one here is thinking of the workers, all right? Mm. Consider the dedicated men and women of the chocolate industry. Part of their livelihood is at stake in this discussion. In your rush to throw away chocolate, have you even thought about the damage you'll be doing to families? Have you even thought about that? I don't think you
have. There. I really think that.
It's not to mention, keep
good questions all. Time is up. Here's the conclusion. Chocolate is a grand celebration of happiness at Valentine's or any day of the year. Please pass the Whitman sampler my way. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The McLaughlin Group, a presentation of Moody Radio.
Time now for the 2-Minute Clinic. Relationship experts John and Kendra Smiley help a couple sort through their marriage issues. Meet Frankie and Farida, who now share their troubles with the Smileys.
He doesn't talk. That's our problem.
She doesn't stop. I mean, that's our problem.
We have a squeaky door hinge in our house that talks to me more than Frankie does.
Yeah, maybe. But I'm so sick of being nagged at. I'm ready to take a vow of permanent silence.
Is there any hope for us?
There's definitely hope. We actually suffered from the same problem. I don't know if you could imagine this, but I was the one who seemed to talk too much. And John was the strong, silent type. And when we'd go to a social gathering, he decided the best way to fix me was to be more quiet. And, of course, when he was more quiet, I decided I needed to be a little more talkative. I didn't want people to think he was arrogant. And that kind of fix really didn't fix anything at all.
Right, and I think, Frida, probably what you might do to get Frankie talking, and that is find something that he's interested in. I don't know what it might be. It might be fishing or sports or something like that, but you could ask him, because a lot of times as married couples, we talk about things we're interested in and not so much about what our mate is. So I think if you find that, Frankie may start talking. And to you, Frankie, well, when you're looking at Frida, again, you'll notice that when Frida's doing all of this talking, probably not things that you care that much about. And so you need to tune in to Frida and then talk to her about your feelings and things that she wants to talk about.
You got that, Frankie?
Yeah.
Tune in. But Frida, I've got it, not to jump on you or anything, but you know what happens a lot of times? They don't talk because we don't give them a chance. So try to listen a little bit more, and I think that might help with the problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, John and Kendra Smiley, the talk of the town here at Valentine's Live. At 35,000 feet, the world looks a little bit differently. Even the world inside the cabin of a Boeing 787 Dreamliner. Meet Megan Taylor, a flight attendant. Single and looking, Megan is determined to find a Christian guy truly serious about his faith. Somewhere over the Rockies, the plane, piloted by her uncle Hank Robinson, hits some unusual turbulence. That's when Megan meets the guy in 17A.
Oh, I am so sorry.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
No, it's not. I just dumped a glass of orange juice all over you.
With all this turbulence, I'm lucky it's not the whole carton. Besides, now I can say I've had a whole serving of vitamin C today.
That's very kind of you, but I feel terrible. I mean, look, your card things are all wet. Hey, are those Bible verses on your cards? They look like it.
Yeah, I'm doing the, it's called the Navigator's Topical Memory System.
Oh.
Sounds like maybe you've heard of it?
Yeah, I have. I don't think I could ever do it, though.
If I can memorize the Bible, anyone can.
Let me go back to the galley and see if I can get a few more paper towels to wipe up this mess.
Okay, thank you.
Until the plane landed in Seattle, Megan found all kinds of reasons to return to 17A. Jordan's seat. New paper towels. A fresh glass of orange juice. A dry cleaning voucher from the airline. Without realizing it or even processing the thought, Megan had fallen for Jordan. But if Jordan sensed it, he gave no indication. The plane landed without further incident, and everybody got off, including Jordan. That's when Megan ran forward into the cockpit for a conversation with her uncle, pilot Hank Robinson.
I can't believe I just did that. I just can't believe it.
You still beating yourself up over dumping OJ over that guy in 17A?
No, I'm angry because I completely forgot to ask him for his
phone number, his email. No. Come on, Megan. You're not that desperate. Sounds like this Jordan guy is pretty nice. If the Lord's in it, Jordan will be back. Count on it.
Oh, come on, Uncle Hank. It's a one in a million that we even met. And now I've just let him go.
Fine. Suit yourself. Don't trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do lean on your own understanding.
All right, but I'm not happy about it.
One week later, Captain Hank Robinson flew the same route from Chicago to Seattle. On board, Megan Taylor. The trip was entirely free of turbulence. Until the plane landed and began to empty out, that's when Megan saw him. Or at least the back of his head. Megan was in the rear of the aircraft when she spied Jordan stepping out the door into the jetway.
Jordan! Jordan, it's me, Megan!
But in the rush and crush of an airplane exit, Jordan never heard his name. Hank heard all about it up in the cockpit.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
Look, man, I know this is a disappointment, but you got...
Disappointment? That's what you call this?
Yeah.
How could I possibly have walked by him repeatedly and never even seen him? Uncle Hank, I've now been handed a second shot at a one in a million opportunity, and I just blew it. Completely blew it.
Maybe. Or maybe God is smiling on you after all.
What on earth do you mean?
Hey, if that guy has flown with us twice in 2 weeks, chances are he'll be back again. Soon. Next time, just keep a closer watch on your radar screen, girl.
Next week came and went. No sign of Jordan. Same for the week after, and the week after, and the week after. By now, Megan was sure her romantic hopes were grounded before they even had a chance to take off. On board the same Chicago to Seattle flight, she didn't even bother looking for her guy. 2 months later, Megan was back flying the Chicago to Seattle route. At 35,000 feet, the captain turned on the seatbelt sign in anticipation of some choppier weather. That's when Megan saw the call button lit up. Some guy in 24C. She walked up the aisle, then nearly froze in disbelief.
Excuse me, miss, but I need somebody to check my scripture memory work.
I noticed your cards are a little wrinkly.
Mm-hmm.
Like somebody soaked them in orange juice or something?
Yeah, you know, strange. It seems to me only fair that whoever did that would be willing to spend a little time quizzing me.
Oh, I suppose you're right. But Jordan, you need to know up front that airline standards are high, very high.
Oh, I've noticed that's the case. So maybe I'll need some extra study assistance?
Hmm.
Any chance we could work something into your schedule?
Well, it turns out the Lord was smiling on Megan and Jordan. They spent a lot of time going over scripture verses, going on dates, going on flights, and it was only a matter of months before all that time spent in an airplane aisle transitioned into a walk up a church aisle. Which brings to mind Uncle Hank's advice for any singles out there.
Keep a close watch on your radar screen.
As for Jordan and Megan, Hank always insists,
it was love at first flight.
You've been listening to a portion of Valentine's Live, a Moody special featuring Laura Story, John and Kendra Smiley, various volunteers, Moody musicians, and some colorful cast members. We'll continue this feature on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends as we usher in Valentine's Day this Saturday, everyone. So this is a friendly reminder to love on family and friends and those that God puts along your path. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.